This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
All right. There you go. BT and Sal on the fan. Brandon's here. Sal Licata Show. Moose sitting in. 12:04 on this Monday. Yankees Mets coming up at 1, so we got a short show. 877-337-6666. Back to you and your calls in a moment. Hey, listen, bottom line is this. This is the top story for me. The Yankees retooled and overhauled offense is going to be good enough to hit their way to a World Series. Now, I understand there's going to be moments, there's going to be weeks, probably a month or so, where we're checking the Daily Pulse as we do every day here on The Fan, where we're sitting here saying, my God, Yankees gave up 6 runs last night. Yankees gave up 8 runs last night. Yankees bullpen's tired. Yankees staff isn't good enough. When's Gerrit Cole coming back? What's up with Stroman? What's up with Rodon? I get it. Not saying it's a perfect configuration, but Soto and Judge,
great,
are enough to elevate this team to October, where I will happily roll the dice.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I don't think this rotation is close without, even you throw Gerrit Cole in, I still think they're a starter short. And I think the lineup's going to hit. I think the lineup's going to hit a ton during the regular season. We're not going to disagree on that aspect. And I have a smile on my face year to year every single day thinking about Soto and Judge in that lineup as a New York Yankee fan. So I don't disagree with any of that. Now, are they prodigious enough now to hit their way to a World Series title? Getting to a World Series, which they haven't been to. We're talking about winning a World Series, getting to it, getting through the American League, as the Astros have treated them as the redheaded stepchild and basically own them. I don't know. I can't look at this rotation with Carlos Rodon, who's an if, Marcus Stroman, who's an if, Clark Schmidt. The only constant is a guy that's changed the narrative, and that being Gerrit Cole. Oh, by the way, Gerrit Cole is hurt with a nerve issue and an edema in his pitching elbow to begin the year. So I look at it right now, I said to myself, no, they're a starter short. You got to go. Even when Cole returns, they still need an upper echelon starter. That's why they were flirting. They were flirting with Blake Snell before he signed with the San Francisco Giants. That's why they've re-engaged Jordan Montgomery. At some point, they're going to have to add a starter to this team, Brandon. They're not good enough.
We'll get to these calls here. And listen, to guess and play doctor is a waste of time. But do you expect Cole back in 2 months? You think he's pitching? 2 months? He's back?
No, I don't know if it's necessarily 2 months.
So you think this thing maybe bleeds into June?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. I could see that.
Don't you?
Have the Yankees been
completely clear with injuries over the years?
They've been horrendous.
Yes.
They've been horrendous.
When you look at this, before you they had the MRI, then there was conflicting reports about this event, what was in the MRI. Then you found out he was on a plane out to Los Angeles, right? He was and meeting with doctors. Then you finally get what the results are. And now you find out I think the Yankees are going to handle it as kid gloves. I think they believe within the organization that their offense is going to be really good, which you and I both believe will be. I think most Yankee fans believe, even with LeMahieu starting the season hurt, that it's going to be remarkably productive. but I think they're going to handle him with kid gloves, with fear that he re-injures it or gets lost for the season. Because if you take Cole off of this starting rotation, you can't even make a discussion or an argument about this team winning in October.
If Cole doesn't make a start this year, Yankees win how many? High 80s? Low 90s?
Yeah, yeah, high 80s.
Push it? Yeah. Sounds about right. High Hurry 80s. Up, Garrett. Make sure you're okay, buddy. 877-337.
Would you disagree?
No, I wouldn't push back too much on that. I can't disagree on that. I mean, if Garrett Cole doesn't take a start, yeah. Do I think they're going to win 94 games? No.
Yeah.
No, I'm going high 80s, and I'm going to be worried.
Right. Correct.
Yeah. No, of course I'll give you that. All right. We're inside of our Town Fair Tire studio. Friends of Town Fair remind you that you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Mike, Jersey City, BT and Sal on the Fan. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, guys. Love the show.
Thanks, Mike.
I had to call. I BT, you got to stop. Juan Soto, very good player. Don't get me wrong. Very good. Last year, 162 games, hit 35 home runs, 109 RBIs, hit .275, .410 on base.
Uh-huh.
You talk about him like he's Roger Maris and Joe DiMaggio, him and Judge. You just said 10 minutes ago you'd rather have Soto in 09 than A-Rod. This is a like down year for A-Rod. This is not a like all-time player. This is like a very good player. But you're
Yeah, but if you're looking at the 09 version of Alex Rodriguez, the 09 version of Alex Rodriguez hit .286, 30 home runs, 100 RBIs, had a .402 on base percentage.
Yeah, in 124 games. In 124 games.
I understand.
With steroids.
The team to a World Series.
With steroids.
Well, whatever. Whatever. Who cares? Yeah, they won the World
right?
Series.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Not that good.
Well, but Mike, hold on a sec, Mike. I know what you're getting at, and even though I'm pushing back a little bit, you're not totally wrong. I do think that there's a bit of an overinflation statistically. Like, when people talk about Juan Soto, for those who aren't immersed in the numbers, like, we do this for a living, so we know, you know, generally where he is, OPS, batting at. We know that because we do it. But if you don't really, really, truly know, and all you hear is, oh, my God, it's this transcendent figure. When you go to baseballreference.com and you type in Soto, you probably expected to see like a .326 average with, you know, 42 home runs, 129 RBIs, like a left-handed version of Cabrera, Miguel Cabrera in his prime, or Pujols. No, that's not what he is. And I give you that. I think what he is, though, is almost more impactful because the discipline – and what he does for the rest of the lineup residually is unmatched. Nobody makes a pitcher work this much since Barry Bonds.
Yeah, I mean, he had 145 walks in 21. I mean, 145 walks. Think about that with Soto. And Soto plays.
He does.
That's the other thing as well. Like, you look at Juan Soto, he played 162 games last year for San Diego. You go back the year that he got traded from Washington to San Diego, he played 153, 151. In the shortened year of 60 games, he played 47, 150 games. He doesn't miss time. He doesn't go out. He's there. He's there. He's available. He's playing. You could probably pencil him right now. I'm probably going to curse him a little bit because, you know, but you could probably pencil him in for 150 plus games this year for the Yankees, you know, and having four at bats a game, giving you, you know, anywhere from, you know, 520 to 534 at bats, something of that nature. Like, that's what you're looking at Soto. I'm not going to tell you at his peak. Was Soto as great as Alex Rodriguez? No, but Alex Rodriguez, you also have to look at with an asterisk as well, because Alex Rodriguez was on performance-enhancing drugs. The other thing is, Alex Rodriguez was a terrible, outside of 09, up until 09, was a brutal playoff performer.
Awful.
Uh-huh. We've already seen
Almost
Soto.
As bad as Dave Winfield.
Right.
I mean, he was bad.
And we've already seen Soto with Washington
yep.
be able to raise his level and be a tremendous October
At performer. Age 19.
Yes.
I mean, the other thing that I'm not worried about, some people are, this doesn't even register on my list of concerns. Like, with Giambi, I was a little bit, not that he's the same profile as Soto, but it's a lefty acquisition. When Giambi got here, or before he got here, he was hitting .320, .325,
yeah.
you know, using the foul, you know, left field, left center, out in Oakland, obviously pulled the ball, and then he got pull happy. His first year was really good. His second year was okay. Then we know what happened with Giambi. But he changed how he approached the game. Juan Soto is so married to his process from a technical point of view, that 314-foot fence is not going to get him away from what he does.
No, it's not.
It's not.
You know who else did that? Teixeira.
Yes, 100%.
Teixeira fell in love with the short right field porch and just tried to pull everything. And he had power. You look at previous stops before he was there, before he came to the Yankees, he had power to all fields.
Yes, he did. And he hit for an average, too.
He hit for an average, too. He became a dead pull hitter.
And I could see why, you know, the trappings of a cheap home run, I get it.
Soto won't do that. I don't disagree with you. I don't think Juan Soto's all of a sudden going to try and pull everything down the right field line.
No way. Justin, Tom's River, BT and Sal. What's going on, Justin?
Hey, guys. Thank you for taking my phone call, as always. You know, you guys both brought up a lot of great points, and I agree with both of you, and I disagree with you guys in some ways. You know, with the Yankees, I'll agree with you, BT. I think the Yankees are going to hit the crap out of the ball this year, and I also think Stanton's going to have a bounce back here, and this offense is going to be electric. But, you know, without Cole, you know, Cole has been a very unappreciated pitcher in New York, you know, for many years.
Not by Yankee fans. Not by Yankee fans he hasn't been.
No, from just as a baseball perspective, he's just been very underrated, and he's an absolute horse. You know, he's an innings eater, and he's going to be really missed. And I don't know if he's going to come back like as Gerrit Cole as we expect.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and when you brought up the point with the Yankees being the evil empire, I want the Yankees to go back to that as a Yankees fan. You know, you go back to that Jeter documentary and Cashman sitting down there, and you saw it when he said he didn't like when people were saying that the Yankees were buying World Series. And I think that's why you're seeing that partially with the Yankees. Outside of not going over the luxury tax, he wants to be looked at as a smart GM and be, you know, one of the smartest guys in the room. When it comes down to it, the Yankees should be at a major advantage. With the collapse of the regional sports networks, it's going to be a fact of the teams of the haves and the have-nots. And if I were the Yankees right now, there's really nobody out there that's available that they can go get that moves the needle for me as a Yankee fan. So I would sit pat, like you were saying, and I think one of these arms are going to shake loose. And I would go after like a Shane Bieber, one of these teams that fall out of it, that don't have the money, that don't want to spend it. The Yankees should sit back and wait for that opportunity to happen and go all in.
They will.
Because as a Yankee, and as a Yankee fan, I want to see Judge and Cole get that ring. They deserve it, and I want the Judge to be it for every Yankee and have one.
Well, I don't know if they deserve it. I mean, because Cole, and I love them both, but Cole got rocked against the Red Sox in a wild card game, and Judge has done nothing in October. To say that they deserve it, I know what you mean, but they really don't. You got to earn it.
Yeah, you do have to earn it. But like, I'm sorry. I don't mean to interrupt you, Justin. Like, I always feel bad that Mussina never won.
I wasn't a big Mike Mussina fan at all.
I like Mussina.
Ugh. I think we used to debate him on the Wheelhouse.
Yeah, we did.
I never liked him.
I like
he was the pain of the age. He just annoyed me.
He liked it. He could never be thrown off schedule.
That bothered me.
He was really good.
He was good. I hear you.
He was really good.
You know why he bothered me the most? Do you know the incident?
No, incident? What happened? And Mussina had a run-in?
No, not me and Mussina.
Oh.
Why I don't... Why I'm not a huge Mike Mussina fan. It all goes back... Not even though he's a creature of habit, that didn't impact me.
Okay.
I know he's a little quirky in the clubhouse, the New York Times, you know, the crossword puzzle guy, not one of the guys, whatever. I don't care about that. When Soriano and Jeter got drilled in succession start that day game, both on the wrist... Both MRIs.
Sent to the hospital.
Both went to the hospital.
Yep.
And he didn't do anything
about it. Yes,
by Pedro, nothing.
Yeah.
Come on.
Who broke up his perfect game up in Fenway?
Oh, that was former Met. Oh, yes. Hold on. Oh, wait, not Gilkey. Carl Everett.
Yes, there you go.
You know how I listened to I didn't even watch that
I
game.
I watched that game. I was at a house party in Pearl River, New York.
House parties were the best.
It was great. We were sitting there watching Mussina. It was unbelievable that night.
Exit 6 off the Palisades around there.
That's exactly right.
No, I didn't even watch it. I listened to it on the radio. I had moved to Detroit. It's for my second radio job. And, you know, I'm piss poor. Everybody is when you just start out radio. Nothing.
Yeah.
And I go to like IKEA, not that IKEA is like I'm not to
no,
take a shot at IKEA.
It's
fine. IKEA is fine. And I get all this, and I'm putting it all together. And I don't know anybody, and I don't have my cable yet. And I'm just listening. I believe it was a Sunday night, if I'm not mistaken.
It was Sunday night game.
There you go. And I'm listening to the Sunday night game of the week on the radio.
Yeah.
And that's how I actually heard the whole game as I'm putting together this furniture that broke in a month.
I know Carl Everett breaks it up. I think night that it was an.
They sent to left field, center field. Where did that ball go?
It was center field, but I could be wrong on that.
Carl, you tried to get me on the old quiz.
It was just a case of because you know baseball. I know, but it was one of those moments. Like, and I was a Mussina fan, more of a Mussina fan than you. But I always felt bad that he never won one here with the Yankees.
I got you.
Like and when he came here, and I know he's a creature of habit, pain the rear end, but. He was, at his peak, he was really, really good.
He was a bulldog. Now, even when he came out of the bullpen, got the double play.
Oh, yes.
That was huge.
Huge.
Okay, here's a little scenario for you.
Let me hear.
So, I said this the other day. A couple of things would have to happen for this to happen. Number one, the Yankees would have to retain Soto. And we've got all season to diagnose how happy he is, how unhappy he is, whatever. And then they'd have to be willing to tell the big guy that this is what you're doing. And here it is. Can you envision next year, or probably 2 years, but maybe even next year, an opening day outfield of Spencer Jones, Dominguez, and Soto, and Judge at first base?
Yes, I could.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the move.
Yeah, I could. I mean, I think when you see reports of him taking ground balls at first base, and it has nothing to do with his athleticism. He's an unbelievable center fielder. He really is. And he's a very good right fielder as well. Jokes around about the fact that he gets hurt more in right than he does in center. But I could clearly see that. Okay. I could clearly see that.
So you're not looking to get rid of Spencer for a rental? You're going to hold on to him? I'm not trading him.
If the right pitcher comes along, I would not mind trading Spencer Jones.
He's got to have controllability and meaning another couple of years.
No, I get
it. He's got to be a stud.
Right. And they didn't want to pay that price for Corbin Burns.
Yep.
For Milwaukee. But if it costs me Spencer Jones to go get a pitcher to help the Yankees win a World Series this year, yeah, I would give him up.
Robbie's in Lennox, BT and Sal with Moose. What's going on, Rob?
Hey, what's going on, PT? What's going on, Moose? How are you?
Robbie, how you doing, buddy?
Hello,
good,
Robbo.
Buddy. How's Don and the kids? Everybody's all right?
Everyone's good. Everyone's good. Yes, thank you.
Good to hear you. You know, I mean, been a Yankee fan a long time. We're going back to 1973, my first year as a Yankee fan. You know, when I look at this team, guys, and, you know, the problem for me is that it's they're going to score a lot of runs. We all know that. And, Mark, I agree with you totally about the holes in the pitching staff. We don't know what Stroman really is going to be. He's had injury problems in the past. Seems like Brian Cashman loves to get guys that are injured. You know, it's like, yeah, how many injuries the guys have? You know, he'll amount to like so many different players on this team. Cole's got to come back. I mean, Volpe's got to be better. To me, you know, I'd love to see Derek Jeter come up and teach Volpe how to go to right field. When I look at this team, though, again, it's the same thing every year. It's like a broken record. They're going to win a lot of games in the regular season. The question is, are they built for the playoffs? That's the thing to me. Are they built for the playoffs? I just don't think they're a clutch enough hitting team. I don't think they're athletic enough. Who's playing third baseman this year? Who's their third baseman?
See what Greg Nettles is doing. See how he's holding up.
That's the thing. There's a lot of question marks. When you guys talk about the overachieving of the Mets, I think the Mets overachieve better. I really do. I just think that Brian Cashman, I'm not a big fan of Brian Cashman. He should have been gone a long time ago. Mm-hmm. And yet Hal Steinbrenner continues to keep him year after year after year. They went and let a guy who built the Giants, you know, and used to work for the Yankees, let him go to Boston. I guarantee you, you will see progress from the Red Sox because that guy knows how to build a team. Brian Cashman just doesn't. I mean, look at all the righties this guy put together in the lineup.
Oh, it's criminal.
I get it, Robbie. We talked about that earlier. I'm sorry, Brandon, interrupted. But I mean, you look at it; it's different now. See, here's where, Robbie, I'll disagree with you, and I agree with Brandon what he was saying earlier. I think this lineup is more difficult to go up against when healthy. I think Soto and the way that he and his approach up at the plate. You know, Verdugo's shown himself in brief tenure to be a good October performer. Rizzo, we know, has been a guy that's been clutch in the past in October. I don't know what you're going to get from Stan. Historically speaking, he's not been a bad October player. I'm not saying that.
He's actually been pretty good outside of the last one.
But this version of Giancarlo Stan, right? Judge has yet to do it.
Mm-hmm.
We know what you're going to get from Soto. And I think Volpe, I think, is an opportunity to even build upon what he was a year ago offensively. I think this is a more difficult lineup. I don't disagree. When they were all right-handed oriented, all launch angle, all trying to hit home runs, it was very, very easy to go up against the Yankees if you were a starting pitcher and be able to have an approach against them. This lineup is going to be significantly more difficult to go up against.
Hey, by the way, you mentioned Verdugo, 281 lifetime, your regular season, 310. Playoff. Yeah, small sample. I got you.
And with LeMahieu on the start of the year, Cabrera.
Yes.
Boone talked about the other day. Oswaldo Cabrera is going to be the opener.
He did mention that and give the young man a chance to see what he's got a little bit. 877-337-6666. Coming up, Robert Saleh said a whole lot of, I don't know what he said. I mean, he used a lot of words, but did he really even say anything? I got to play something for you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, BT and Sal back on the Fan. Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata Show, 12:29. Little Yanks and Mets coming up at 1 o'clock here on the Fan, home of those New York Yankees. Gave you the Met lineup before as well. We'll get to the call today coming up. Moose is sitting in for Sal, 877-337-6666. I want to play this for you. So Robert Sala was asked about, well, he's asked a multitude of things here. And let's face it, I don't know anybody that is lukewarm on Sala. Like, you either believe that he hasn't had the right roster or whatever, and you defend him vigorously, though that number is declining fast.
Yeah,
or you're
a lot of people off that boat.
Yeah, I'm saying. Or you're probably where most Jet fans are at this point. You don't think he's a good coach. There's very few, before we play the cuts out, Moose, there's very few people who aren't yet sure how they feel about Robert Sala. Let's be honest.
Yeah, and I think everything that he's shown you is that would sway to the questioning of just the caliber of head coach that he is. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's given you a lot to believe.
No.
Other than being, you know, good players coach. I think he's got a good defensive mind in terms of being a good head coach. I don't think he's given you a lot to say, I'm going to sink my teeth into, this is why I believe Robert Sala is a really good head coach and capable of not only getting a team to playoffs, but winning. Look at how this team dealt with adversity the past 2 years.
I agree. And by the way, it's really quite the contrary, where he's done some things where I've actually said, I don't know if he's going to be a good head coach because he butchered this or he botched that.
Like, correct.
There's more evidence that he's not going to be a good coach than that
no
he's
doubt.
Going to be
yes,
one.
Yes, totally agree.
So we're on the same page with that. All right, so he was asked about Hackett, his offensive coordinator, and whether or not he's going to be better this year. Go ahead.
I know he will be. You know, and like I said, it's all part of when you lose, you're a loser. I suck. Joe D sucks. We all suck. So it goes with the territory. But you know, the best thing we can do is put our heads down. Like I said, we got to go to work. You know, all the feel good stuff of the off season doesn't matter. Got to win football games, and when we win football games, all the narratives will change.
Yeah, I mean, the feel-good stuff was last year when Rodgers was coming, and this was happening. Jets
hard
gonna be
knocks.
On, hard knocks. Jets going to be on
the
seven.
Story of the NFL.
Yeah, they were. Seven primetime games, seven or eight, whatever it was. The first Black Friday game against Miami, where you throw a pick six to the end zone that gets brought back 99 yards to the house. I mean, we have had some seasons that will test, I mean, you to the core. Last year rattled us to the point for somewhere they'll never quite be the same. Because And I think you remember this from back there. I'm fairly optimistic with the Jets. Like, I'm not a prisoner of history. Like, oh, the Jets, you know, the curse and name it, or the fake Spike, or Blair Thomas. I evaluate each team differently. Now, they all kind of wind up in the same graveyard because they all stink. But I look at this Jets team, and I look at the head coach, and I appreciate what he just said. I'm not trying to railroad the guy unnecessarily. He's a good man. You know, and what he just said makes perfect sense. But, dude, hey, how do you get behind with conviction that if this goes awry early, Robert Sala's going to stabilize it? How do you do that?
Yeah, and my follow-up question to Sala would be this, is what did you individually learn over the past 2 years that you need to work on as a head coach? Because I think that's what it comes down to. Because the great elixir is Rodgers. Right? I mean, they all have jobs because Rodgers doesn't want to change, right?
Yep.
And Rodgers has the ear of the owner and Woody Johnson. So That's why Hackett's back as OC. Saleh's back as head coach. Joe Douglas. They were put their feet to the fire. Red carpet. NFL honors right before the Super Bowl by Woody Johnson, where he took another shot at Zach Wilson and also talked about the fact that the Jets needed to win in 2024. And I think Joe Douglas has hit the ground running this offseason with what he's doing and what he has done, rebuilding the offensive line, adding Mike Williams. With the limited amount of cap space going into it, they had about $20.5 million of salary cap space before they restructured some deals, did with C.J. Mosley and stuff like that. So, put all that aside, for the head coach is this. You individually, as you dig down and you look at the job that you have done, what do you need to improve on as a head coach? Because if you read that Athletic piece, which was a complete teardown of the Jets after the season came to an end, right?
The one by Rossini?
Yes, correct.
That was great.
Right, but
fantastic journalism.
No doubt about it, but tore apart the Jets. Everything
culture.
That was, I'm not knocking the reporting she did. I'm just talking about the fact of how bad it was behind the scenes down in Florham Park.
Yep.
For the head coach, what do you need to do better? Like, where do you need to significantly improve? Because you could look at individual players, and they have after the season, they have the meetings with each individual player. What you did well, what you didn't do well. Well, as a head coach, Robert, what did you do well? What do you need to improve on? Because if the Jets are really going to win a Super Bowl or contend and be a serious threat in the AFC, not only does Rodgers need to see healthy, I need to see a hell of a lot more from the head coach.
So do I. You know, I just, there's just, he lost me with the whole Mike White, Zach stuff. With the t-shirts on the plane, I thought that was a lack of leadership. And the funny thing is, in an ironic way, in a disappointing way, is that when Robert Saleh was hired, and I was clamoring for them to hire him.
Yeah.
I liked the hiring. He projected this leadership and this aggressiveness and this toughness that I thought would translate to game day. On game day, he doesn't say a word. During the week, I think he's too much of a coach's player. And here's the reality of it. If the Jets get off to a 1-3 start, and again, I don't want to get too deep into the start here. It's March. But just because Robert Saleh spoke earlier today, if they're 1-3, if they're 2-4, if they're 2-5, he's probably gone during the season. The noise around the Jets this year after a bad start, if that happens, will be as loud as a sound for a Jets coach in a long time. It's going to sound
doubt.
Different.
If they get off to a bad start, if Rodgers is playing poorly, no question. I mean, listen, Rodgers is the offensive coordinator. You might see then, if things are not going their way early, where Saleh's out, maybe they name Ulbrich to be their head coach, the defensive coordinator. He's done a nice job.
Did a great job.
He did a great job, right? So, but that's being really, really negative. I would say this for Saleh is, I don't disagree with you. I think he gives you good answers, good soundbite. I think he came across really well to a point in Hard Knocks. Now it's a matter of winning football games. What's going to define Jet football? What is Jet culture? When you go to the field, what are you going to know to do? Are all three phases working together? It's one thing to be a defensive mind, which he was in San Francisco, and there's no issues with the Jet defense. But how is the offense now? You can't, as a head coach, just put your head in the sand about what the offense is doing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you just can't. Like, you can't
be a coach.
Right. You got to be the head coach of the entire team. All three phases have to be working together.
Yeah.
And sometimes I think Saleh is too much of a, well, look at what the defense is doing. Getting back to his 49er days, well, it's about the entire team working together. And I think you saw the deficiencies of him as a head coach the past 2 years when the offense was really bad, them not finding a way to remain competitive.
Yeah, we see what the defense is doing, coach. The problem is the offense is averaging 11.3 points per game. How about you get off your ass and go knock on the door?
The stuff with Wilson was just...
Oh, my God almighty. I mean, they were just so... He was so indecisive. And the thing, too, is like, I understand you have a defensive background, but... Parcells, defense, coming up linebackers, obviously Belichick, and other coaches, defense, special teams, Harbaugh with the Ravens, special teams. But I promise you, the best coaches, even when things go awry, even if it's not their side of the ball, they are going to mosey down to that side of the building and have a conversation.
Yes!
Hey, we're not running enough. We're not passing enough. We're too many penalties in the trenches. Like, you can't be that detached from it.
No doubt about it.
And I feel like he is.
Right. Do you see what they're doing defensively? I think we need to do this offensively. Have a feel or clue about what the offense is doing.
Doesn't
you see
give
it all
it
the time.
You.
Belichick used to do it. I understand it's New England, but Belichick used to do it when he was running the Patriots. You see good coaches doing it.
Mm-hmm.
John Harbaugh does it. I know he's a special teams coach, but Harbaugh does it down in Baltimore with the Ravens.
Yep, no doubt. This is it's going to be an interesting football season. Jets and Giants.
He looks good, though. He looks like he's fit. He's shaped. The beard looks great.
Yeah, he's got a good dye. I tried to dye. I actually tried to dye the beard once. I did.
Did you?
A couple years ago. Yeah, I don't know why. I just gave it a shot.
How did it come out?
Horrible. My sister's like, it looks like you put shoe polish on your face. Because I was getting like shaving cream and like aftershave gel. It was like in that area. I'm like, just for men.
Why is your beard all gray?
No. You see it. That's not all gray. It's got some darkness to it.
Yeah, no. I know.
But... No. But like when it gets like during COVID, like when I let it go out, it's a little grayer than I want. Now I don't care. But that was the first time I was dealing with it.
It was a little vein.
I admit it. A little bit. So I went to the drugstore and I had to get the shaving cream, the other stuff I had to get. And I see this, well, it was like just for men, some blending stuff.
Hey, no gray.
Yeah.
And like Clyde used to say.
If it's gray, you ain't getting no play. and I just kept putting it in. I think I overdid it. It went like jet black. It looked horrible. I learned my lesson.
It looked terrible.
It didn't look good.
Call of the Day with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
All right, today's Call of the Day brought to you by Ramsey Mazda. Choose wisely. Choose Ramsey Mazda. Vinny's up in Poughkeepsie. Vince, BT and Sal, what up, Vin?
The last two pregames when Pito and Han are talking, behind them, I see Randall working out.
Yeah, he's been on the court before. Yeah. Yep. He's not clear for contact.
Well, why is he playing? So why is he shooting before these games? I see him. I saw him yesterday or two when the game was. You know, out there shooting if he's not coming back.
I'll tell you why, Vince, I'll tell you why. Because going out there and going through drills and starts and stops and conditioning and getting up a couple of hundred jump shots, low post moves, pump fakes, footwork, that's different than having somebody tug at your elbow, your shoulder inadvertently, and have it come back out of its socket.
Contact.
You're done. That's the problem.
But why is he shooting if he's not coming back?
Because when he's shooting, no, I'm not saying he's definitely not coming back. I'm saying for the first time, I'm starting to think he might not.
I think they have a game. They know he's coming back.
I think
it's all planned.
They might.
Because why would my game point again? Why would he be out? If he's not coming back, why is he shooting before the game?
You're not hearing us, Vince. Take it away, Vince. Thanks for the call, Vince.
He's working out because he's a professional athlete. That's why he's shooting the basketball. That's what he does for a living. So he's trying to present the option and maintaining being in shape.
There you go. It took two of us to finish the thought there. He's still yelling at his phone. But why is he shooting? I don't know, because he's not one of us who doesn't shoot for a living.
Right,
it's kind of his job. 877-337-6666. BT and Sal on The Fan. All right, Moose, let's get back to these calls. Let us get Lou in Astoria. What's happening, Lou?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, buddy.
Lou.
Hey, Moose. It's nice to hear your voice. How's the kids?
Everyone's good, Lou. Thanks for asking, man. Everyone's
all
doing
right.
Well.
The future Rangers said trio.
Yes.
Now, remember, you forgot to make it to at least Jackson should have been Moose Jr., but he didn't make you.
Juniors. I wasn't a fan of the juniors, but yes.
Listen to me. This guy at Soto, I'm sick. I like the guy. I'm actually from the Dominican Republic, but I'm sick and tired of everybody making him a 5-2 player, which he's not. Okay? He's a bad defender. He doesn't have an arm. He doesn't steal bases. Okay? The most homers he ever hit was 35. Okay? I don't understand. I compare him with Ricky Henderson, but Ricky Henderson at least stole bases. When was the last time this guy stole a base?
Well, first of all, I've never said
5-tool player when I'm looking at Soto.
He's nice to horrendous outfielder.
No, but I'm making it. Listen, he's going to make – you guys are comparing him. He's going to make $200 million because the exaggeration is incredible. He's
How
not
much?
That great.
$200? He's going to make $500-$600.
No, he's going to have an extra $200 million
because
you guys are promoting this guy. It's unbelievable. Compared to Alex Rodriguez, let me tell you something. 2004, he was hitting 400 in the first three games against the Red Sox. Okay? And then everybody stuck after that. Okay, no. And in the first year with Seattle against the Yankees, he hit pretty well. Against Minnesota, he always hit well. Okay?
Yeah, well, everybody hit well against Minnesota. We love playing
Yankee fans. Yankee fans used to call up this station.
It has nothing to do with...
Thanks, buddy.
Listen, Yankee fans used to call up the station and deem Alex Rodriguez double play rod in October. I mean, that is so. We get into this conversation of comps and comparing, Juan Soto to Alex Rodriguez. The biggest failure of A-Rod is not having the self-belief in his God-given ability that he was good enough to be able to do it on his own. Because Alex Rodriguez was a physically gifted baseball player, and he succumbed to the pressure. And it's a learning experience for everyone out there, succumbed to the pressure of what everyone else was doing around him. When you look at Soto, I never talked, Brandon or I never, and I don't have heard anybody talk about him being a five-tool player. Nope. What he is, though, is he is an offensive machine and can beat you in a lot of different ways. Working walks, hits for a decent average, power, doubles, drive guys in. That is what Juan Soto can do, set a tone and a tempo for your entire lineup.
Yeah, I feel a little, and listen, Soto's amazing to your point, but I feel a little bit better if there wasn't a little bit of a drop in the batting average.
Yeah,
you know, like,
that's fair.
You know, a little more like, you know, a couple of 301s mixed in there.
Yeah.
I don't need 330. He's not going to be Wade Boggs or Tony Gwynn, not with that pop and not with that eye. But he's got a totally different profile as a hitter. But, you know, when you drop to, you have a 268 year, like, yeah.
I get it.
Let's avoid that.
No, I get it. And the reports last year out west was that he wanted to get back to the East Coast. He didn't enjoy lifestyle out there west. I don't understand why.
I don't know how you don't.
I never lived out there. You did.
There's no pressure to win, yeah, and exactly. It's beautiful out here.
You're in San Diego. You're in a beautiful city, but he wanted to come back east, and here he is in New York, and we'll see how long
he wanted the boogie here. Down is what he wanted.
That's
he
exactly.
needs the juice of the Bronx. Oh, it's going to be awesome. Let me get, how about, oh, you know, Dave's in Queens. He wanted to, I guess, get at us a little bit on the conversation about Salah. Dave, what's going on, buddy? BT and Sal with Moose. How are you today? What's up?
What's up, guys? How we doing?
Good.
All right, so I'm a diehard Jet fan, and I keep hearing over the radio, like, Robert Saleh, is he the guy, you know, all that good stuff. And I just think that there's really no conversation to have with the Jets offense until we get to just, as Evan would say, ride Aaron Rodgers. Like, there's nothing to talk about. Like, I understand how it went last year and the year before. They have had no quarterbacks. Like, let's just wait to see how Aaron Rodgers looks. If they're, let's say, 2-6, you know, after the first 8 games or whatever it is, 2-4, whatever it is, the first front half of the season, then let's start talking about Robert Saleh.
Yeah, right, Dave, go ahead, Moose, take it.
David, can I just ask you a quick question, right? Who is the comeback player of the year this year in the NFL?
Off the top of my head, I'm not sure.
It was Joe Flacco. Where did Joe Flacco play quarterback last year?
He played for the Jets.
He played for the Jets. How many different quarterbacks did the Cleveland Browns have starting this year?
Was it four or five?
Four.
Yeah, four.
They had four different starting quarterbacks in Cleveland this year. Stefanski did an amazing job, right? Quarterback's the most important position in the NFL, right? If you're the whole idea is, well, let's see what Saleh is with Aaron Rodgers. Yeah, I am great. I mean, but there's a lot of guys that could win with Aaron Rodgers as your starting quarterback. There's a lot of guys. I can put down a litany and a list. Doesn't necessarily mean they're great head coaches. That's the difference. You're trying to we're getting into a conversation. Is Saleh, has he shown you enough to say he is a great head coach? And to the contrary, I think most Jet fans wake up and they're concerned about just how good and the caliber of coach Robert Saleh is.
Listen, I think that there's an old adage, and let's cut the difference here and assign which layer or tier we think that Saleh resides in here. Coaches that you win in spite of, or coaches that you win because of. Is there anybody who watches the Jets and thinks that Robert Saleh is a coach that you win because of? The answer is undeniably no. Now, that doesn't mean that he's destined to a lifetime of being a coach that you win in spite of, but he's certainly not in the first category, which is the desirable one.
Let's get
that's
to my point.
Damn sure.
Like, Robert, what did you learn? Where do you need to improve on as a head coach? That's what
what do you think he'd say? If he's fully honest, what should his answer be?
I think it would be more accountability within the room. I think having a better feel of what's going on in all three phases.
I think that's a good answer. But I got to tell you, I disagree, and I didn't even get back to it, but I just remembered it now. When you said it was kind of a passing comment, so I think we went to a call, whatever we did, where you said that you thought Robert Saleh came off, you know, pretty good in Hard Knocks. I thought it came off awful.
You did.
I thought it came off.
You didn't like the Eagle story?
The analogy. I'm all about reaching for literary references and tying things together and showing a little
we're
worldliness
here.
High. Yeah, I mean, you know what bothered me?
The Eagle, whatever it was.
Oh, God. It didn't seem legit, number one. It just, I don't know. It didn't seem like the guys in the room were buying that necessarily. Maybe I'm wrong. But then again, their actions didn't back up like they were buying it. So that's number one. Number two. You know, every time Aaron Rodgers made a great throw in practice, like, and maybe this is just the way they edited it. I'm sure there's a part of this, but I couldn't escape this. All Saleh would say is, oh, what a throw. Oh, God. Oof, what a throw. I need a little more from my coach than...
No, I understand that, but I think that's what he is.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Right, but I didn't go into it with expectations that I was going to get this fire, like, where my perception of Robert Saleh and what I see on camera, what I saw in Hard Knocks, what you see on the practice field, and what he communicates to media on a weekly basis when he meets with the media, I got a similar kind of feel during the course of Hard Knocks. He's one in the same. Like, so I expect him to be the rah-rah, you know, pump your fist, you know, kissing the rear end of Aaron Rodgers. Because you know what? Aaron Rodgers, they just watched Zach Wilson play quarterback for a year. So when Rodgers steps into the building, he is the Messiah.
Oh, my God. Be interesting. And then, listen, coming days, obviously some stories about some teams in front of him in the draft. The Giants. It's going to be a good draft. Jets and Giants
see
in the middle
the Giants
of a lot of...
get their quarterback?
We shall see. Hey, listen, Moose, we haven't had a chance to work together in a long time.
It's been a while, man.
Since the wheelhouse.
Yeah,
nice to chop it off with you, dude.
Sincerely
enjoy it.
Thanks for having me. It's a blast.
No doubt. That's Moose, and good job on PIX, man. I know a lot of people miss you at the fan.
Thank you, brother.
A good job on TV.
Appreciate it.
There he is. Moose. Sal's back tomorrow. He's going to be extra cranky, extra ornery, although I'm sure he'll come in
good
defend
luck
of those Metsies. Good luck packing.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!